Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
AM 560 WQAM Miami. 96.5 FM WPOW HD2 Miami.
Radio home of the Miami Dolphins, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida Panthers.
Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
And that is us, indeed, on a Saturday morning going forward till 11 o'clock. Thanks so much for taking the time and joining us right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Larry Bluestein with you up until, as I said, 11. Manny Changster over there watching his Argentina-France matchup. I was just saying that this is the only time you could probably go to work at a sports station and have something, especially on the Eastern time zone, and have something so meaningful played at 10 o'clock in the morning as a key World Cup match is going on. But what we're going to be all about for the next hour is talking about recruiting high school football. We have high school coach, college coach, players, analysts. So it's going to be one of those days that we continue to do every single week throughout the year. You could follow us on our social media at Facebook and also SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. Is our website, which every day, I mean, now we're talking every day, has something different. Whether it's a rankings, player features, a look at some of the players, where they're headed to college. We have that pretty much covered for you on a daily basis, and it gives you an opportunity to follow along with all the things recruiting. This is the hotbed for it. As you know, we have nationally things going on throughout the year, and that's what our show is going to focus on. About 10:45 or so, we're going to check in with Doug Socha, who's the head coach at Kaiser University in West Palm Beach. So let me tell you something. They hired obviously the right guy for the job, because since he took the position, he hit the ground running, and they will debut this year. Actually, we'll have their debut season, but Coach Socha's had camps there. He's had a lot of things going on. He'll talk to us about that as he gets ready for the inaugural season of Seahawk football up in West Palm Beach. 10:30 or so, Roger Pollard is back at Coral Gables High School, and I'll tell you what, he has put together, as he does always, a tremendous staff, a lot of the kids, quality football program, rebuilding after last year, a disappointing last year. But certainly he'll join us at 10:30, talk a little bit about his team and also some of the things going on in the offseason. About 10:20 or so, we're going to talk to Rob Cassidy from Rivals.com. Rob was just at that Rivals showcase, a five-star showcase in Atlanta. A lot of Florida kids, a lot of South Florida kids did extremely well, and we're going to talk to him about that as well. And we kick off our show, obviously, a lot of the fans here in South Florida, huge University of Miami people. We get anytime somebody either commits or they're looking, you know, at him, at the player, we always have the player on. So the fans and everybody are, you know, surrounded with the program here in South Florida and all over the country that follow the University of Miami. We've talked to the entire class of 2018, and have worked our way with class of 2019. Our player today is somebody that I followed ever since he got there. I mean, when he was at St. Thomas as a ninth grader, I watched him, a quality football player, just athletic. Everybody said from the beginning that he was going to be special, and he indeed, as he heads into his senior year, Jason Munoz is extremely special. He's a University of Miami commitment, and he joined us this morning. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time, and congratulations. You there?
Yes, soon.
Okay. I just congratulations on the commitment, and certainly thanks so much for taking the time. This has got to be exciting for you. I saw you out at the University of Miami that day that you committed. I watched you. I mean, you look like the same guy who I saw 3 years ago, technically sound, just a lot bigger. Talk about what this has been for you, because, you know, everybody would love to have a college scholarship, but certainly one to the hometown team, and you've gotten an opportunity through your career at St. Thomas Aquinas to get yourself ready for this. Talk about that and where you are right now as we head into the, you know, the summer.
So I feel like we've been doing a lot to prepare, me and my family, trying to get myself into the best situation I could possibly be in. And I've just been working as hard as I can. It's been kind of hard, seeing as how last year I had an injury that,
right,
that kind of messed up my whole last season. I couldn't play, so I just had to get going, work as hard as I can. That's what I did.
When you take a look at this, I mean, this is a kind of a magical situation. St. Thomas Aquinas always has outstanding coaching, but not only that, a tremendous football talent. And you've had an opportunity in your time there to watch some of the really good guys, not only in the classroom, but also on the football field. And they went through the same thing that you were going through. They went through the recruiting process. They went through, you know, a billion coaches are there watching you all the time. How helpful was that? Because that's got to be extremely, you know, for somebody who is, you know, going to go into these uncharted waters, this has got to be extremely good for you.
Very helpful. Iron sharp as iron, so.
Yeah, no doubt. But, I mean, you know, having the opportunity and just look at the players over the last couple of years that have gone through there and, you know, are at the collegiate level. But they went through this, too. And you watching them, I mean, that's got to be – I know iron sharpens iron, but I'm just talking about just from your own, you know, learning process and seeing how they handle, you know, the recruiting situation. How helpful was that for you?
Very helpful. And when I first got to St. Thomas, like, there was kids still going to St. Thomas, like Nick Bosa, all those big names, Sam Bruce, everybody was still going in. So I had a lot of people that I could look up to and take notes from. So I just, when I first got to St. Thomas, I just kind of just sat back and watched and took notes.
Yeah. No, I could see that. I mean, because I've watched, you know, for years and years, and I remember when Bosa got there, and he was learning from, I believe, Moton, and you know, I mean, just different, you know, and that's what at St. Thomas, they have that a lot of schools don't have, because you look at, especially this year, with the University of Miami, your teammate, Solomon, earlier in the year, then Huff before that, so it's kind of a family affair that is extending on to college. What's that like?
Yeah, it's very good. It's a great feeling. I'm so excited for college. I'm more happy about the fact that I'm going to be able to be with my brothers at the next level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do.
The camaraderie that we're going to have, it's going to be a good thing.
Jason Munoz joining us, St. Thomas Aquinas, defensive lineman, injured last year, but we've watched him the last couple years. And you, the one thing that you did do after coming off of that injury is you hit that weight room hard, because I saw you at the University of Miami, and this isn't a 225-pounder that I remember. I mean, you've gained a lot of weight. You've put a lot of muscle on. You can see your quickness hasn't diminished at all. I mean, and what's your relationship defensive line-wise, University of Miami, new coach down there? I mean, it takes a lot getting used to, and he seems, I watch Coach Jess working with you. I mean, it just seems like a natural fit. Talk about that, because I think that's important, that you feel comfortable with the coach that you're going into.
Yeah, Coach Simpson, he's a really cool guy, down to earth. We had a few occasions where we just hung out at University of Miami and just spoke, had dinner together and stuff. So I like him. He's really down to earth. He's a cool guy. We get along great.
I mean, and you mentioned that, and that was the first thing. When I met him, I think Coach Banda introduced me to him at the beginning, and I had known his success. You know, he was in the NFL. He was at college. He's an icon at the high school level in Georgia. But the one thing that I came away with, he's really easy to talk to. I mean, and by the end of the conversation, you've learned a whole lot. And I witnessed that firsthand with you and him when he was working with you out there on the football field. And and you seem to respond, and because you're used to that. I mean, you've come from a, I mean, you're leaving a St. Thomas Aquinas that has a Jason Taylor there, who I saw firsthand last year what he did with Nick Bonito in just probably a game or two. It's always essential. Talk about that, because people don't realize. I mean, and we saw it in the Bosco game last year when I think that the coach was on the sideline with Nick Bonito, and he was working on just a couple of moves. He went in there and got himself two sacks. That immediate result's got to be freaking you out. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. We have unbelievable coaches at St. Thomas. And Coach Taylor, he's like the top of the line, you know what I mean? He knows everything about everything. He's a Hall of Famer, so.
Yeah. I mean, you look around, Jason. I mean, you have all these guys, like you mentioned, Bosa in the NFL, but they have a lot more on their way. A lot of the guys that are playing collegiately all over the country, and you watch them. I mean, how proud do you feel as a St. Thomas guy to watch some of these guys who have played in, you know, wore the same shoes you did, were in the same weight room, doing all the same things, but they're at that next level and beyond doing good. I mean, can you envision yourself being at that same level in a couple of years?
I can't envision myself. It's all up to me, though. I just got to put the work in to be able to get there.
Yeah, no doubt. What are you going to be doing during the summer? Obviously, you have a big season ahead, tremendous schedule. I mean, I saw the schedule. Again, they'll test you like last year. What are your plans for the rest of the summer? What are your workouts? What are you going to be doing?
Well, for the rest of the summer, I'm going to keep on working out, and I'm going to try to get onto University of Miami's campus as much as I can and get myself used to it and, you know, get acclimated to the campus and everything. I just want to get down there as much as I can, because I already feel like that's like it's home already. So
yeah, that's
want to get down there.
I mean, that's a great thing, and that's a great feeling. And like I said, you know a lot of these guys in the class of 2019 that have already committed. So that's important as well, to be comfortable. But certainly, I'm proud to say that I watched you from the beginning. And when I saw you that day, because I didn't see you last year because of your injury, but when I saw you that day at the University of Miami and came over to you after, I believe, that you got offered by Miami, I was amazed. I was amazed because I saw you, you know, as a young guy come in and what you've become now, and I congratulate you on the hard work, and I know you're far from where you want to be, but at least you're on your way, Jason.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Anytime, man. Hey, listen, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations, and we'll be checking you out plenty this year.
All right, thank you for having me. Have a nice day.
Anytime, you too. Jason Munoz, University of Miami commit, 2019, guys. I mean, he's already got the size, 270-plus pounds, defensive line. That's what you need, and certainly something that the University of Miami is striving for. We have talked about that with all the college coaches, whether it was last week, with Coach Narduzzi at Pittsburgh. We talk about that, having your lines secure, both sides of the scrimmage, line of scrimmage, with enough talent, with enough depth, that you can compete. I mean, because when the University of Miami fans say, yeah, we want to compete for the Coastal Division and we want to win the ACC title, but winning the ACC title is having to go through the Clemsons and having to go through the Florida States, and those are the programs that are stockpiling those defensive linemen and those offensive linemen. So while Miami has done an awesome job, I'm sure that Coach Rick, with the addition of Coach Jess, who's done an awesome job, and Coach Searles on the offensive line, trying to stockpile those talented guys. I mean, and it's not easy. You look around the SEC, you look around the ACC, and some of the emerging teams are all stockpiling those linemen, and that's essential, and I think Miami's going to get there, and having a guy like Jason Munoz is certainly what it's all about. Big show this morning up until 11 o'clock. We have head coach Doug Socia from Kaiser University up in West Palm Beach. You'll hear a lot about that program over the next couple of years because of the fact that Coach Socia is not one of those settlers. I mean, he doesn't settle. He'll take that program to the max. They're NAIA now, but obviously maybe in a couple of years, they could go Division II and compete with the West Floridas. And, you know, we talked to Coach Shinnick up there quite a bit as well. Also, Coach Roger Pollard, Coral Gables High School, took the year away. Now he's back and trying to get invigorated, I guess that would be the word, to take this Cavalier team back into the playoffs. And certainly you got Columbus and you got a really good amount of 8A teams in south in the south end of the excuse me, of Miami-Dade County. Choked on that word. Also, Rob Cassidy, Rivals.com, will join us at 10:20. Talk about the Rivals Showcase as well. We'll take a time out. When we come back, we'll talk to Rob about some of the things that happened up Atlanta. Also, take a look at some of the players and the prospects that he really liked. Back with you on a SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com radio show for a Saturday morning. Larry Bluestein, Manny Chang up until 11 o'clock. We are talking about high school football, recruiting, and certainly thank Jason Munoz, the University of Miami commitment from St. Thomas Aquinas, for joining us in our first segment. Our second segment will take us into the recruiting trail, and certainly Rob Cassidy from Rivals.com is doing it as well as anybody. Just returned, I guess, just the other day from, last night from Atlanta, where he had the Rivals five-star showcase collection of some of the best talent in the country, and he joins us now. Rob, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, Larry, what's up, man? How are you? Glad to be here.
Good. Other than the Mets losing last night, you're in a good mood because you just came back seeing some great talent up in Atlanta. Talk about that and some of the kids that stepped it up a little bit from this area.
Yeah, you know, it's always nice to see. I mean, you and I talk so much about just the depth of talent in Florida, but it's kind of nice to see them clash with some of the top players from around the country. And you know, as expected, a lot of them held their own. I was really impressed with Mark Britt, the Miami commit at Champagnat, who knows how long he will be at Champagnat going forward, but there yeah. seem to be some rumors there.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought for a 2020, he looked real good against some of that competition. Then obviously Trey Sanders, who's originally from Port St. Joe, but is at IMG now, won the running back MVP award. And, you know, there were guys, from top to bottom that did well. I thought Brendan Gant did really well from Lakeland.
Yeah,
I think he really showed himself to be one of the top defensive backs in the country.
You know, when you take a look at those type of showcases, I mean, you go to some of these events locally, into different cities, Orlando, Miami, whatever, you're going to get kids that are not of the five-star variety, and these five-star type of kids will just, run anything that they want and do basically anything they want. But this is a little different because some receiver who has his way against anybody all of a sudden is against another five-star defensive back who is as good as anyone and doesn't let up many balls. How are some of those type of shows going? Because, you know, everybody looks forward to the one-on-ones because everybody's calling. But this has to be a one-on-one of epic proportion when you have some of these just outstanding guys with a quarterback that has a huge arm throwing. Those battles had to have been just epic.
They are, from San Diego, you get to see, elite wide receivers from out west go against guys like Akeem Dent from down here. And it lends itself to a little bit of chippiness sometimes because these guys aren't used to losing reps.
Exactly.
They kind of bow up. So there was some, there's some physicality at work, but you don't mind seeing that. It's football after all.
Yeah, no doubt. Rob Cassidy joining us from Rivals.com. Here's a good point too. You've had an opportunity, especially this offseason, to maybe see more than you've have. You not only did the ones down here, but I believe you went out to Texas and you went to Midwest. You got a chance to see a variety of talent. How do some of these areas stack up, to our area? I mean, obviously they have the talent, maybe not as deep, but talk about that because I know a lot of people, listening like to hear how our area stacks up against some of the other quote-unquote hotbeds.
Yeah, you and I always talk about, Texas has a reputation, Georgia has a reputation for good talent. And
right.
We've touched on this before. It's the top 10 guys, 15 guys, they can stand toe-to-toe with South Florida. It's when you get beyond that, it's the depth of talent, especially when you get outside the top 50 or something.
Yeah.
Then you start trailing off everywhere else. Here, the number 100 player in Florida is still going to a Power 5 conference school.
Yeah, so that's right, too.
That's really where the difference comes in, I think. But, it's interesting to see some of these other areas positionally that are a lot stronger. We don't exactly have a wealth of quarterbacks down here.
No.
It's nice when you get up into Georgia or get out west into California to see kind of how there's a Power Five quarterback, you know, around every corner. That's never been the case down here in South Florida.
Right, right. And also you take a look, Rob, is a lot of the guys in the NFL now that have come from down here, a majority of them are receivers and defensive backs. I mean, we've just started getting a few, like with Sony Michel, with some of the running backs, but you look back over an extended period of time and the running backs and the defensive secondary guys from South Florida have to way, way outnumber any other position.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure it helps that they play around the clock here. It's not like it gets cold and pushes them into another sport. So you know, the athleticism kind of gets honed. I think that the reason maybe we don't have the quarterback is because we haven't had kind of the specialized quarterback training the way they do in California and Georgia, where there's all these quarterback gurus that work with quarterbacks around every month of the year and kind of hone their skills.
Right, right.
That's just now kind of coming to South Florida. And I think, with guys like Kevin Scrolley, who you and I both like, I think in the future it could be bright at that position. This might see a change in, how many quarterbacks we produce down here.
Could the other position or could the other reasoning be, and I've heard this a lot, is our athletes are so darn superior that we want to stick the best athlete at the quarterback position. And maybe that athlete, maybe like a Tutu Atwell, is not the classic drop back 6'4 type guy, but he's very, very effective. And that's what a lot of coaches probably gravitate towards, because look at all the quarterbacks, even Jackson, out of Boynton Beach, athletic guy. Yeah, he has an arm, but he probably made his wealth of notoriety with his legs as well. Talk about that too, because I think our athleticism takes away from that individualized specialty that that you're talking about, that going to those elite camps and stuff do to you.
Yeah, and also, I think it also kind of creates, the athleticism is obviously a blessing, but
yeah,
it's a situation that can kind of be a curse, I think, where maybe college coaches look at these guys from Florida and think, okay, he's just an athlete because he's from Florida, and that's what everybody is. I tend to think that Tutu Atwell, he's not an NFL prototype passer.
No.
But I don't think there's any reason why he can't be a successful college quarterback. I think that he's got every tool you need to be successful there, if that's where they want to play him. Who knows if they'll move him or not.
Yeah,
but I think he could play the position on the college level.
But when you run like a 4.39 or a 4.4 like he does, especially going to the college level, you want that speed on the outside. You want that speed where you can get the ball to it rather than that speed distributing it. I think that's what happened. This is why he did so well in the spring at Louisville, because of the fact that they know they want to get him a certain amount of touches, whether it's a return, as a kick punt, because that's what his dad did when his dad went to University of Minnesota. I mean, he led the nation in kick and punt returns his freshman year. So, I mean, you got to utilize that speed somehow. And Rob, that's just, I'm asking you the question, but at the same time, I'm thinking that's probably what happens. You get so much of that speed at the next level, and you're going, wait a minute, I don't think I want you at my quarterback position.
Center getting hit sometimes the game, yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at some of the quarterbacks that have come out, of this area over the last 6-7 years, and yeah, while they could throw the ball, they could run it. The kid that originally went to Ohio State, he's in the CFL now, from Heritage. I can't think of his name. Left-handed quarterback, help me.
What year?
Just like 4 or 5 years ago.
You got to remember, I've been down here three.
I can't think. But he went to Ohio State a couple years ago, and he was one of their big prospects as a quarterback, and things didn't work out. But anyway, he's one of those guys who had tremendous speed, and everybody kept looking at him more as a Randy Moss than maybe as a Drew Brees. You know what I'm saying? So it happens like that, and certainly we may be a victim of that.
It does happen like that. But how tempted do you think at some point a coach was to move Lamar Jackson? And how happy do you think that they did not do that?
I'm sure.
I'm sure that became tempting at some point.
I'm sure.
Sometimes if you just stick with these guys, it's
Well, he did come in after Teddy Bridgewater, and Bridgewater was kind of, you know, somewhat of the same. He didn't run as well, but he certainly had that type of arm strength. As we're talking, I'm sorry, with Rob Cassidy from Rivals.com, got off on that quarterback tangent. You look at this offseason, you know, it's kind of a different type of offseason now because July is going to be shut down. It's a dark period for recruiting, which has never been like that, you know, before. But I guess that's the nature of the beast with these signing days. Talk about that and how you think this is going to maybe help the kids maybe work harder, not having to perform every week in front of the colleges like they do against June and July. They do have that last week of July, but do you like this dark period, or do you think maybe the kids need a lot more exposure during this time?
I think it's good for them. I mean, we're not exactly hurting for exposure these days. Right. Think about just how just hectic the off seasons have become for them. You've got the Rivals camp, you've got the Nike camps, you've got the school camps, then you've got stuff like the 5-star challenge. Then they play 7-on-7 every single weekend.
Yeah.
And then they're expected to do even more school camps in this part of the year usually. I think this is a good way to kind of give everybody a break, to give college coaches a break, definitely give the players a break who, I mean, these guys, I mean, they're playing, a lot of these guys are, especially the guys that do 7-on-7, are playing 2, 3, 4 times every weekend.
At least.
You know, sometimes it's okay to pull back and be a normal kid, not have to be an elite athlete every minute of every day. You know?
Exactly. And also, too, I mean, I talked to some college coaches. He goes, you know, when we break everything down, we need this. This is our. We have to worry about our team. It's nice to have the recruits in here, but he says if we don't work on our team and make our team better, we're not going to be here for the recruits to come to. And I think that's a great point as well. You got to start making sure that your guys, you know, the college guys, are ready. That they're, you know, that they're going to get workouts and that they're going to get, you know, get better. And I agree. I mean, at first it kind of like, what are they doing? Because of the fact that I know a lot of these high schools plan their trips. Rob. You know, in June and July, and they take a massive amount of 15-20 kids to Georgia and, you know, all over Ohio State and Pitt.
Those
bus tours. And I know that they're important, but at the same time, you know, after talking to some college coaches, I understand their point of view as well. So now you have this time of year, you're getting a lot of things going on. I know that you're still doing your evaluations and your rankings never stop. What are the things that you're going to be doing over the next, 3 weeks until the last week of July?
Well, they'll still be doing camps around here, so they've got, you know,
local
Legends Showcase. Yeah, the Legends Showcase camp in Tampa that I'll go to. I try to use this time of the year to get up and see some guys in other parts of the state, because they do have these local camps everywhere. It's nice. I go up and see some of these training facilities in Jacksonville, where it's going to be a good year up there, and kind of try to get out of South Florida and see the outskirts of the state. Not that everything outside of South Florida is an outskirt, but, you know, just the other part.
Well, I know, just before we let you go, I know that you're a Met fan, like a lot of us are, and it's tough, but Manny, my producer, and I are going to the game tomorrow for the bobblehead.
I will also be there.
Awesome.
I'll be there as well, so I have to come find you guys.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going.
I'll text you out there. Yeah, it has been tough. Good stuff. Rob, thanks so much for taking the time. Before we let you go, how do they follow you so they can keep up with all your great stuff?
I'm on Twitter at Cassidy_Rob because somebody has the Rob Cassidy monitor. Underscore Rob.
Good stuff. Rob, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you, man.
All right, bye. Rob Cassidy, great guy. Hard worker, Rivals.com. You got to follow him. He was just at that showcase. He's going to take our last bobblehead tomorrow.
Listen, me and you, we always make lines for this. I'm going to be probably the fifth person in line tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah, we like to get out there and support the bobblehead days. The Marlins playing a lot better. After tomorrow, the Marlins could be out of the cellar, and that's amazing. But the Mets kind of like fold a little bit. Thanks so much to Rob Cassidy for joining us. As we said, down in Coral Gables, they're happy. Their coach is back, Coach Roger Pollard. What he did over that period of time while he was there is put that program into the spotlight, had him state rated, doing a lot of great things. Good athletes down there, a lot of good philosophies, good coaching, and he's back, and a lot of people are happy. He joins us this morning. Roger, thanks so much for taking the time, Coach.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, Larry.
Oh, and anytime. This is big. Gables, like I told you many, many a times, them and Miami High hold a special place in my heart because of how they dominated through the early years here. But coming back again, the kids are excited. I know everybody's excited down there. What's been going on during the spring? I know there's a lot of work, a lot of positions up for grabs.
You know, this spring, just coming in for the first time, and things kind of changed in that short period that I was there.
Yep.
Getting the kids to raise their expectations, not because of, you know, not really caring whose expectations other than themselves. So trying to fit a certain standard academically was the first and foremost front, because if you can raise your standard academically, like whether they want to go to class, do what they're supposed to do in class, dress the right way in school, we can get those things done. Then on the field, you know, of course they're gonna be able to jump through those hoops. So that was the major battle cry for us. Bringing in my whole staff and getting the way that we practice down. You know, just blocking, tackling, and executing a certain way. Of course, we were extremely satisfied with the result over our spring game, but once we sat down and we looked at the film, we still got to learn a lot of football, you know. So we're happy to see where things are going, but we're undoubtedly, and my staff and I, this summer we're working the kids, we're pushing them to become their better self every day.
You know this program as well as anybody. You know the people around it. You know the communities. Obviously, this is one of those community-based schools that you live, you know, in the community. You go to Coral Gables, and certainly has been a beacon for years and years and years. And the first time around, you and I talked about the tradition and about all the things that were positive and about all the guys that went to college and got a degree and got the education like yourself. And it's not just about the Frank Gores and, you know, the Neil Colseys and those people of that ilk, but all those other guys that went on and used football as a springboard, as you mentioned, to academic success and to get out in the, you know, in the real world and do your thing from a business standpoint. Talk about that, because I think that's important, because you were an academic guy and still are, and you preach that 100%.
Well, football is a tool, and a lot of these kids are looking at it as the end result. What you've got to realize is any tool can be useful, but any tool can be destructive. It just matters how you're using it. If I take a hammer and I try and paint my nails with it, you know, as good as a hammer may be to drive some nails, not to paint my nails. So
getting
these kids to understand that, you know, for someone like myself, football got me a free bachelor's. I was able to do a grad assistantship, so I've got a free master's. Of course, I put in some time, you know, to get those two things. But I didn't have to pay the dollar amount. What paid the dollar amount was the tool, which was football. So getting those guys to understand that, and then in any job, you know, the structure that we're trying to build within football: show up, dress the right way, always on time, treat your authority figures with respect. Those same things through this program are the same things that will help kids, you know, later in life, whether it's at the next level, college football-wise or just college-wise,
yep,
or whether it's a job. You know, you show up, you dress your part, and you treat your authority figures, you treat your boss the way that they're supposed to be treated, and, you know, you should be getting a paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, just getting the kids to understand those things and having fun doing it, because at the end of the day, it is a game, you know, and you know, we take it very seriously, but at the end of the day, you've got to be having fun doing this thing.
Yeah, I agree. Coach Roger Pollard, Coral Gables Senior High School, joining us. Certainly, we at the beginning of the show, we had Jason Munoz of St. Thomas Aquinas, and here's a kid who learned and watched as a ninth grader and saw all the kids before him and had an opportunity to see how things work and the recruiting process and getting to college. Has that been at your school? Because I know when you were there, there for those years, you used those seniors. You used a lot of those kids for Frierson to look at when he was younger and for some of the other guys that have come out over the last few years. Talk about that, because I think that's important where these younger players, and you do have quite a few younger players, are going to look at these juniors and seniors, and they're going to remember the things that they're going through, and it's going to serve as a growth period of the entire program. How essential is that for you?
Well, it's big. You know, on our Instagram, Cavalier Nation, we always put a segment. Whenever any of these kids who are in college that have come back, we say they always come back. As much as possible, I try and get, or we are getting alumni to come in and speak to the kids. Shakur Cooper runs my weight room session. You know, Kevin Padin, one of my other coaches, he's running the weight room session. All of these, they see a lot of alumni come back and give back and spend their time to, you know, either A, you know, run some type of program, or B, part of our player development segment that we hold on Wednesdays, where we just want to tell the kids what you would tell them when they get in trouble, but before they get in trouble. So it's a good way for, you know, all the kids that are off in different parts of the nation. When they come back for summer break, or when they come back for spring break, they get an audience, they come out, and they speak to the young guys, so that it's not only coming from me. It's coming from a band of brothers that you saw when you were a young little puppy. Like the day of the spring game, Gilbert Frierson came back, you know, from, it's not far, it's a 5-minute walk. Yeah. But he came and gave the pregame speech, and it wasn't planned, it was just out of nowhere, and he just wanted to come out there and talk to the kids. There was a day in spring practice. Marlon Brooks was out there coaching, you know, the some of the kids up. Johnny Ford was coaching the running backs. My running backs coach there wasn't there that day. So continually and consistently having those younger kids come back who were successful in the program. Gregory Howell, you know, came back and he was, you know, going through there during spring. And the list goes on, name after name after name, kid after kid after kid. Robert Brown, G. Stanley, LeSean Waiters, all of those guys that just made that jump and are in the college football life right now. I love it when they come back. Emilio Gibbs finally came back from Stanley. He got in his dorm room up there and just stayed for 3-4 years. So he finally came back. It's so strong because of the relationships that those guys, you know, had. You know, it's looking up to that kid that was a senior when I was a freshman, and now I'm the older guy, and I'm seeing him come back, and he's repeating, or he's talking about all of the messages that they know we're preaching to these kids.
Yeah, no, that's a great lineage to have to watch a lot of these guys like you did when you played there. I mean, I'm sure there were when you were a younger player, there were guys that you looked up to that perhaps made you see things a lot differently than if they weren't there. And that's important. You have to have leadership, and I think that's so essential. That and I've talked to this about to the kids, to the coaches, that you never know what you pick up. You know, I mean, a freshman could be watching a junior run patterns, and the next day he learns something, and all of a sudden he's on the map because he learned something. So you never know, and that's what I always tell the kids, Coach. You never know who's watching. You never know who's watching, so always perform at the maximum. Always handle yourself professionally, because, you know, just like anything on social media, it'll always be there and it'll always come back at you. So you got to be smart. But I appreciate you once again joining us. Welcome back. You're one of the guys we always gravitate towards. We know the tradition at Carl Gables, and you uphold it as well as anybody has ever had.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Just trying to get all these kids back home.
Good stuff. Thanks so much to Coach Roger Pollard, Carl Gables High School. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Saturday morning. Head Coach Doug Socia from Kaiser University in West Palm Beach. Here's worth of shows as well. As we switch to college football and one of the programs, as we were talking about earlier, that has hit the ground running, and a perfect coach to do it with, Doug Socia, up at Kaiser in West Palm Beach. And the one thing is, you want to get as many people on your campus as possible during the course of a year to see it, the kids, the parents, and that's exactly what they've done up at Kaiser. Their inaugural season will start this year, but what's happened during the spring has been amazing and into the summer, and head coach Doug Socha joins us now. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
You got it, Blue. Anytime, man. Hope things are going well for you.
Doing well. Certainly for you guys, and we talked about, you and I talked about this. The one thing that you've done is invite as many people onto your campus repeatedly for midweek camps, for 7-on-7s, for every event. I know that's been a game plan of yours forever to bring people into your place to see what you have. Talk about that and how the response has been this off season.
Yeah, it's absolutely been our plan since day one. You know, I just think that, Kaiser has such a reputation, 40 years of academics and excellence with that. And then obviously the sports programs, other than football, have been successful. But with football, our whole thing was let's get as many kids on our campus and people on our campus to see what we're doing, through what we're calling Seahawk Saturdays, which were open houses. We did probably 24 of those in our first year, and then we've done some throughout this offseason, and then our camps. Last summer, we had around 1,000 kids on campus for all of our summer camps, whether it was 7-on-7, team camps, individual camps. This year, we added an O-line, D-line camp, which was excellent. We still have another quarterback camp at the end of, middle of July.
Sure.
But, yeah, we've had, well over 1,000 or close to that number, this year. And that's a big piece. They've got to see it to believe it. You can hear about it. You can see it on social media. You can know that, all right, this program's starting football. But when you drive on our campus and, it looks like a scene from Jurassic Park with the beautiful landscaping, and then you get there and we've got a brand-new facility being built. That's been our whole thing, is let's get people on our campus to see it, and then they'll leave very pleased.
You were at the small college recruiting fairs for years, and you saw as a high school coach how tough it is with the limited amount of schools, especially in the state of Florida, that these kids have an opportunity. Yeah, if you're a five-star, you got those teams, and even go to FAU and FIU. But if you're at the level where you may not be big enough or fast enough to play at a major college, there's always a place to play, and now you've given them the opportunity. We talked about Ave Maria before. We talked about all these schools, but just in the Palm Beach area alone, because of your knowledge of the community and your knowledge all the way from the Space Coast and the Treasure Coast all the way into South Florida, is giving you an advantage because of the fact that you know the kids, you know the coaches. Talk about that, because I think when usually a new coach and his staff come into an area, they're not as familiar as you were.
Yeah, that's been a big piece of it. And one of my goals when I took the job was to hire some guys that really understand South Florida, understand West Palm Beach and Palm Beach County. And guys like Miles Russ, who is an alum of West Boca, and he went away and was a college coach, bringing him back. You've got recruiting coordinators, done a tremendous job. So sure. Our relationships that we've built and from our staff, that's been a huge piece of this whole deal. But absolutely, and being a high school coach for so long in this area and working hard for these kids to get them recruited. And, like you said, the Power Five kids, those kids are going to get recruited, but it's always your next level of kids. And with Kaiser, right here being an option now, I think we're going to see, number one, there's an opportunity to play football at a high level. I think our roster is going to be talented and we're going to be able to compete at some point. Yeah. But I think when you send a kid away to, a state, five, six, seven states away, the likelihood of those guys, staying there and graduating, coming back and getting into the job force in there with their degree, I just haven't seen a high percentage of that. So that's one of our goals is, we want to recruit this area, keep some kids home. But in 3-4 years from now, really the impact is going to be when we graduate these kids.
Sure.
And they can go back into the community, have their college degree. But all around, it's a no-brainer here. It's a home run here for South Florida. And our roster is going to be made up of probably 80 to 90 Palm Beach County kids.
Yep.
We're really working hard in Broward and Dade and then up the coast, like you said, the Space Coast. And then there's some out-of-area kids from Tampa and the West Coast. And I think
our out-of-state recruiting, you know, will continue to be phone recruiting, and kids will find us before we find them, but because the state of Florida is so saturated with great football.
Exactly. Doug Socia joining us, head coach, Kaiser University, West Palm Beach. And you and I talk because we think out of the box a lot about because of travel and because trying to get games and because now you're NAIA, but to go Division II would probably, and I know this may be looking down the line, but to have the Ave Marias and the Webbers and schools, even if Nova Southeastern should one day get a program and then couple them with the West Florida and Florida Tech, you'd have like 6-7 schools within your own state in Division II in your conference. So from a travel standpoint, from a rivalry standpoint, wow, huh?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, obviously, I think with our NAIA schools here in the state, you've got Southeastern, you've got Weber, Warner, yeah. Edward Waters, Ave. Now we've added football. Who knows who else is going to add?
Yeah.
And then you've got Florida Tech, West Florida, that are competing in Division II. You know, so who knows what the possibilities will be at some point. But, you know, one thing we're focused on trying to compete at the level we're in. And I, as I look at NAIA football over the course of these years, it's kind of trending more towards the South now. You know, you got Southeastern, who's been really competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Reinhardt in Georgia that made it to the national championship last year. And, you know, hopefully it's trending south, you know, like you see in major college football with the SEC, you know, just and the ACC dominating.
So what is your first first game in school history will be when?
August 23rd. It's a Thursday night. We'll be up at Pikeville up in Kentucky. And,
oh, okay.
You know, we're working hard getting ready for that thing. And we got to have a great month of July and a great training camp getting ready for that thing. But, yeah, we'll kick off on August 23rd. It'll be live streamed. You know, our kids are looking forward to that, and we're getting ready for that one.
And your home opener and some of the highlights of the schedule, give us some of that.
Yeah, so we'll start off on the road the first 3 weeks. There will be a bye week in there. So we'll kick off at Pikeville, and then we'll travel to Bluefield, Virginia. And then there's a bye week, and then we will play up in McKenzie, Tennessee, play Bethel. And then we'll be coming home for our first ever game. I know that season tickets are going to go on sale starting next Thursday, July 6th. So we'll play September 22nd at home against Georgetown. They're a playoff team.
Yep.
You know, that'll be a big day. That's a big day for Kaiser. That's a big day for South Florida and NAIA football. You know, certainly. So we've got a lot of work to get prepared so we can, compete on that day. But that's our home opener. And then there's some other nice games that we'll have that obviously got Warner and Weber will come to us. And then we'll go to Ave, and I think we're playing in their first ever night game.
Nice.
If not, I know that we're playing at night.
Yeah, I saw they got lights. Yeah, I saw that. Wow.
So maybe we're not the first one, but I know we're.
But you're there. Yeah.
We're there at 7 p.m. And then we'll wrap up our regular season at Southeastern, which is obviously, they've been the elite team in our conference, and everyone's trying to chase them. They've got an elite facility, and they've had an elite team, so it's an exciting deal for us.
Talk about your social media. You guys got a really good social media going. I mean, you're probably as active as putting out graphics and putting out everything. Talk about that and how people can follow along.
Yeah, well, you can follow us at, I think it's Kaiser Football, KU Seahawks Football, and obviously any of our coaches were very active. That was one of our things when we took the job was, hey, let's start branding ourselves on Twitter, and there's an Instagram account as well. But, we took this job. We had a one-room office, 3 or 4 coaches, and all we did was recruit. And we had a piece of grass that we practiced on. Now there's a brand-new facility. There's going to be a stadium. There's going to be a brand-new weight room, locker room, equipment room, coaches' offices, classrooms, training room. You know, we're adding trainers to our staff. We got a full-time strength coach for football. So now there's more. So you'll start seeing more of that. But our graphics guys, a couple of assistant coaches on our staff are talented with graphic design. Have done a great job. And, that's one thing I know that everywhere we go, someone always says, gosh, you guys feels like you've been around for three, four years. But, we haven't played a game yet. But so we've been pretty active with that. I think that's a big piece of it. And kids want to see things. And now if they come to our campus, they'll see a building that's being built and, the future of what we're going to have on campus. So it's a pretty exciting time here for South Florida.
Good stuff. Coach, I appreciate it. You know, we'll always check in with you. We're in your hip pocket. So we'll awesome. Be with you. And thanks so much for joining us. And best of luck moving forward.
You got it. Thanks for everything you guys do.
Anytime. Doug Socia, head coach at Kaiser. We'll wrap up. What a great show this morning, Saturday morning. Thanks so much to Jason Munoz from St. Thomas Aquinas, Rob Cassidy, who joins us from Rivals.com, Coach Roger Pollard from Coral Gables High School, and Doug Socia. Manny Chang, thanks so much. We're back Saturday. Have a great 4th of July. Be safe.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.